Welcome back to the Midlife Hour Reviews, where we peel back the layers of our favorite twisted tales, episode by chilling episode. And today, we're diving into the unsettling world of Black Mirror Season 7, Episode 2. Now, imagine you're at the top of your game, successful, confident, secure, until an unexpected shadow from your past appears, quietly pulling threads and reshaping the reality you thought you knew. This episode puts us in the shoes of Maria, portrayed by the compelling Sienna Kelly, an ambitious executive whose life is meticulously derailed by the mysterious arrival of her former schoolmate, Verdi. Chillingly brought to life by Rosie McEwen, the episode explores a reality shaped by vengeance, manipulation, and a haunting quantum device capable of rewriting the truth itself. As Maria spirals into paranoia, struggling to discern friend from foe, we find ourselves questioning the very nature of truth, power, and the shadows lurking in our past. So settle in as we untangle this darkly psychological narrative. Be prepared to question everything and everyone as we delve into Black Mirror. Let's begin. Babito, what'd you think of the episode?
It was probably my third favorite episode of the season. There was a few duds in there, maybe just one dud. We'll talk about that one next episode.
I thought this was a great change of pace from the first episode. The first episode definitely tugged at the heartstrings, but still had that mixture of sci-fi and the absurdity of technology and that kind of whole thing. This one was, I think, a little bit more traditionally Black Mirror, maybe with that old school Goosebumps vibe where there's mystery that only one person recognizes.
Goosebumps, that's such a good way to put it. That's how it felt. It felt like a R.L. Stein episode, didn't it?
Yeah. And it took me a while, probably midway through the episode, before I started figuring out what exactly was going on. Is this girl crazy? Is this all in her head? Does she have some vendetta against some girl she doesn't have a reason to have issues with? Because when it opens up and they're doing the testing for the miso-filled, you know, Snickers bar, is what we'll call it, and she was part of that testing group, those initial bites, they're trying it, they weren't that impressed. And then you see her kind of like touch the amulet and kind of speak on, maybe we should give it a try. It gets better with the second bite. And then everyone's perception of the candy bar completely changes. And so it seemed a little odd, right? She has a little eye contact, a little wink goes on. And then in that post like review discussion, she talks about how she saw there was a job opening on the website. And Maria's like, no, there's no job opening. I would know. But, you know, it seemed to me in the very early stages, like I was on the same page as her boyfriend. Like maybe she just hating to be a hater. She had no reason to be so anti-Verdi. But as we saw, as things continued to play out step by step, more eerie occurrences happened.
And she knew what she was talking about. Step by step, what happens next? Verdi uninvitedly gets hired to her company for some strange reason, right? And Maria's wondering, if I'm doing so well, I'm in line for promotion, I think she was. Why is this person coming in to help us do our jobs? I don't understand. What was the first moment of her going crazy? It was that throughout the series of Black Mirror, they've always called it Bernie's. It's been a Bernie's chain restaurant. And Maria's boyfriend that we just talked about was working at Barney's like 2 years prior to whatever the hell is going on to now, or maybe like a year prior. And one of her coworkers is arguing with Verdi or another coworker that it's not Barney's. It's not Bernie's. It's Barney's. And she's like, no, my fucking boyfriend worked at Bernie's for 5 years. I would know. She Googles it after Verdi is like, I think it might be Barney's. Da, da, da. And sure enough, it says Barney's. That was my first take on could this be a Mandela effect? Is that what's going on here? I bet this episode is going to be like a Mandela effect.
Well, I knew something was up because in that opening sequence, when they show the conversation with her and her boyfriend in the kitchen, the hat is sitting on the counter. And as they pan out to change scenes to her at work, it shows the lettering Bernie's on the hat, right? So there was some foreshadowing prior to that interaction that we as the viewer are on Maria's side. No, I know what I saw, but then you start to question yourself, right? Especially as they Google it and she goes to talk to the boyfriend, but you don't understand how it's being done. So we know from the backstory that Verdi was like a computer lab addict, a little science nerd, right? Always spent her time working with computers. So it would make sense that if she had some kind of technical expertise, it would be in the manipulation of machines. But the fact that she was able to change everyone's mind is like, you know, there's something else that's going on here. And all these instances were occurring when she was like nowhere near a machine to manipulate. So that's what was kind of interesting and kept the story driving on. But damn, they did a good job portraying Maria as a hater, right? Everybody was like, why do you hate Verdi so much? You know,
I mean, it really just stems from what was the rumor that someone started in their high school about Verdi sleeping with a certain teacher because she spent a lot of time in his classroom. So that's where the angst and the vengeance and the revenge factor comes in. for Verity, I guess, and Maria.
So things escalate throughout the episode with Maria giving Verity like the ingredients list for a sample that they're going to be displaying to the owner of the company when he comes by, which is supposed to have like this vegetarian like oil or gelatin base. But Verity types it in as using beef. So then the chef includes beef in it. I presume that he's probably a vegetarian. He did seem to be of Indian descent. So that would make sense. But then it just keeps compelling and compelling. She's like, no, I sent an email. The email is manipulated. Maria doesn't show up for an early meeting, says she didn't receive the email. There's all these different instances that ultimately collide with the two coming face to face in the break room.
And what happens in that break room? She's talking to Verity. Verity walks up to her with a smug, pissed off look on her face. She grabs an almond milk. She drinks the almond milk running down her chin. Streaming down her chin is a better word. And Maria's shocked. She can't believe what she's looking at. And I think we were all shocked at the arrogance of this little blonde lady coming into this department.
Yeah. What I thought was crazy was just how well acted Verdi was when it came to that confrontation about the nut milk, right? She's almost trying to tug at Maria's empathy about how she was kind of ostracized from the popular girls and kind of made fun of in high school, and is asking like, is there a problem with her? But then her demeanor changed, and she did a good job. It was almost robotic, almost soulless, like when she flipped that switch and she's kind of challenging Maria, and then things kind of go out of her hands when it turns out she's like, no, it was Maria. Maria's like, I'm allergic to nuts, you know. That's kind of foreshadowed throughout the entire episode. But the video gets manipulated, and that's when I was like, all right, how the fuck is she doing that? And then no one knows what nut allergy is.
What is nut allergy? Yeah, that was a good scene. That was funny. They didn't even know how to pronounce it. Nut allergy.
But the climax of the episode ends when Maria decides to follow Verdi home and discovers that Verdi lives at a big-ass mansion.
Living like 14 different lives as a ballerina, a doctor, astronaut, probably a fucking pope at one point. She was everything.
The house looked like it was next door to Diddy's.
I think it was. If you check the address, we have to rewind that episode.
Yeah, I think it's right behind Kai Cenat's L.A. mansion. No, but throughout the episode, like while this is a much more streamlined story, like I said, it definitely had those like old school Goosebumps vibes where there's eerie mystery and only one person is aware. You almost feel like you're going crazy. Maria sneaks in. She's hiding underneath the bed, and then she finds the amulet sitting on the like a nightstand while Verdi's showering. Just as she's been throughout the episode, Verdi was always five steps ahead of her. She's got a whole bunch of amulets and ends up explaining to Maria exactly what she's doing and how she's doing it.
And what she was doing was every time she talked into the amulet, what she said was a reality and another reality. So it would just place them into that reality where she's explaining or doing whatever that is that she's saying into the amulet. That reminded me of an episode of Rick and Morty. Isn't there quite a few episodes of Rick and Morty where they just leap up to another reality when he kills Morty or he kills Summer or he kills the dad, Jerry?
Yeah, and a bunch of different various ways, whether it's like the multiverse or time travel or clones. I feel like they've done it all on Rick and Morty.
So she told her that and tells her to come out of the bed, and come to find out she has like 20 of these amulets. It's not just one. She has a backup upon backup upon backup.
Not only that, the amulet is not the device. The amulet is just a remote.
The device is like a quantum computer, correct? In like her garage or in
the basement.
Or something? In her basement, yeah. Fucking Verity.
So ultimately, Verity kind of explains that as soon as she came up with this technology, she did a bunch of different things, becoming the ruler of the universe, being treated like a god, you know, going to the moon, doing all those grand things that people wish they could achieve throughout their lifetime. But she always came back to the revenge for how she was treated as a child. And earlier in the episode, it comes out that Maria tries to reach out to another woman. It was Natalie or something like that, yeah. who was part of that friend group, and she found out that she had died, and ultimately
killed herself.
Verdi explains that she was responsible for that, and that she had stayed sane, lasted longer, a lot longer than Maria. Maria only took a few days to break. They enter into a violent struggle, which ultimately ends with Verdi getting a hold of the amulet and calling the cops. The cops come, start shooting shit up. Ultimately, she shoots Verdi in the head and continues that encounter with the cops until she's able to get a hold of the amulet in Verdi's hand and says, I wish that this listened to me. And then she kind of, what was menacing and chilling in true Black Mirror fashion, instead of doing things differently than Verdi with that immense power of technology, she immediately goes down the same rabbit hole, makes herself the ruler of the universe and is treated like a god.
If I had one wish, da, 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 da.
So that's kind of the plot of the episode. But when it comes to like some of the insights or some of the things I noticed, there's some good character development that's going on. The Booker has really weaved like intricate relationships between Maria and Verdi, as far as like knowing each other from childhood, but not really knowing each other, just someone in the background, to Maria kind of being maybe like the third or fifth wheel within her friend group herself, and also being bullied by the popular girl or mean girl, and used a made-up rumor about Verdi to kind of get the attention off herself. And that kind of being what started this whole revenge arc of Verdi and the technology. So the dialogue feels pretty organic, you know, it's loaded with some underlying tension. There's definitely a sense of unease throughout the episode, because again, you can't tell if she's just genuinely crazy or the world's biggest hater, you know. But no, what did you think about the characters and the writing?
With the whole character of Maria, it's a 50-50 split for the viewers. Is she a victim, or is she now the dictator, like you said, that Verdi is? So it's like the 50-50 split. What do you do with power? And you see that through both the characters, right? How power can corrupt you. If you have enough of it, yeah, everybody's going to choose to do good.
I think you can safely conclude that Maria was never a hero, right? She might have been the point of view that we're following, but like she kind of ruined the young girl's life by spreading a very vile rumor about it, right? So she kind of had what was coming to her in the end, as far as the narrative is concerned. But the psychological manipulation and the gaslighting littered throughout the episode was very fun, as depicted on screen.
Yeah, it was a sci-fi Mean Girls episode, 1,000%.
I'm gonna get you. As far as narrative structure and pacing, we're just gonna ignore that reference.
Was that Prince?
The story unfolds methodically. There's a balance between the tension building and the narrative clarity. There's some gradual escalation that mirrors Maria's psychological unraveling. But I thought the pacing was good. Again, these short, isolated anthology series, I always love them, because you can get in there, tell a quick story, and move on. You don't have to spend so much time with a bunch of fluff that's meaningless and is just there to fill up airtime. So I always appreciate most anthology series. And episode 2, I thought it was great. So for me, I'm going to give episode 2 a 8.3.
Thought you were going to give it lower than that. Impressed. I'll give it a 7. Solid 7.
Okay. Do tell. What brings it down a little bit for you?
For me, it just wasn't my style of episode or my style of sci-fi. And that's the only reason. The storytelling wasn't bad. It's just I've seen that story 1,000 times already, you know? You did?
Absolutely. What was that miniseries on Hulu with the girl, who's the girl from Legally Blonde? Reese Witherspoon,
yeah.
And then the
Little Fires Everywhere.
How'd you know exactly where I was going?
Because yeah. That was a great series.
Yeah, that was a great miniseries. And you're absolutely right. We've seen that kind of storytelling before, and this was like a isolated one episode story in the similar vein of Little Fires Everywhere.
Last closing thoughts on the episode.
It was good for what it was, you know. It was an isolated story. It was here, gave us some entertainment, and we moved on.
I'll say, don't give women in tech pendants that control reality. Or you can.
No one gave it to her. She developed it. You misogynist pig.
Because they don't know how to handle the power. Clearly. That wraps it up.
Let us know what you guys think in the comments. Did you like it? What other theories or observations did you make while reviewing the episode? Let us know. And we'll be back again with episode 3. Pete.
See you later, alligators.
All I want to know is, can I eat a sub?